Hey, before we start this new sermon series, this is an interactive part. Online, you can shout out your answers. We are having a little debate and discussion at staff meetings. So, guys, yeah, we're having a pop quiz in church. What are some of the Ten Commandments? Shout them out.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. Great, Bradley. What's another one of the Ten Commandments? Anybody know any of them? Honor your mother and your father. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Great job. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or anything else your neighbor has, right? Thou shalt not lie. Absolutely. What else did I hear? Don't make any idols. Okay. Do you know what the longest commandment is? It gets more real estate in words than any other commandment. Do you know what it's about? It's about Sabbath. Like, what is Sabbath? The longest out of the Ten Commandments, the ones we fight about and protest about, that they should or shouldn't be in our courtrooms, that we have such a time with, the longest commandment is about Sabbath. We're going to dig into it today. But it's also probably the most misunderstood and misused of the Ten Commandments. I think like we all get, don't covet, don't lie, don't steal, don't gossip. But what is this whole thing about the Sabbath? We're gonna get into that. But so I wanna ask you another question. And some of you may not even know what Sabbath is. I think there's, I was listening to a podcast and the Cowboy Commandments, the version of it is like, get to church on Sunday, right? Like that's how they whittle down Sabbath. Honor your mom and pa, don't hurt nobody, and get to church on Sunday, right? Like that's how they do it. But if you think about Sabbath, what are some things you think about when you think about Sabbath? Be honest. Don't make up churchy answers. We're real here, online family. What are some things when you think about Sabbath? What do you think of? Sleep? Rest? A day off? Watching football? Honesty. I love it. Watching football? Okay. Y'all didn't pull out any of the deep-seated answers of we're not allowed to do anything. It's old-fashioned. It's legalistic. Nobody thinks that. If I say we're going to suddenly institute Sabbath, right? Well, I'm glad y'all are actually thinking about some of the things that we are going to talk about, which is celebration and fun, watching football and taking a nap, resting, right? But it's so much more. So this month, we want to invite you into this series called Sabbath Deconstructed. Up until last night, the series was going to be called Sabbath Reconstructed, but I'm a foodie, right? Like, why Sabbath Deconstructed? Who watches the cooking shows? Like, any of them? I know some, yeah, watch the cooking shows.
Have
in the past. Good job. Thanks for being honest, Bradley. And so, you know, like, they'll be judging a dish, and they'll go, it's very one note. Or this one flavor overtook everything. And I think when we think about Sabbath, that force, almost like a forced nap or a forced timeout or legalism is the one note that has branded Sabbath. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But what I really want us to do is, like, even today, we're not going to talk about how to do Sabbath, right? But every week we want to introduce you to a different ingredient of Sabbath. We want to take apart this thing that has become an assumed not fun thing. Because, like, tell your kids, we're going to Sabbath all day. We're going to take a nap for 8 hours after we go to church for two. They're going to be like, no. Right? But if we take Sabbath apart, if we deconstruct it, and every week introduce one of the true ingredients of Sabbath, then not only will we see that it is not legalism, it is life, but we will actually begin to appreciate all that Sabbath rest offers. So are we okay? As we take that dish apart, as we unpack it, as we introduce those ingredients to you every week, we'll have a specific invitation for how you can taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll have a specific action step that we're going to invite you into. So first, let's jump into what Sabbath actually means in its in its definition and in some of its concept. We'll get some of the nuts and bolts out of the way first, okay? We good? All right. That didn't sound very good, actually. Are we good?
Good.
Y'all are already like, oh, man, this month is going to be. No, it's not. I promise. This month is an invitation to life. And so, okay, so Sabbath is a day of atonement. It's an intermission. Sabbath is a blessed rest from toils and troubles, a weekly respite from doing. The verb Sabbath actually doesn't mean to rest in the way we think of it. It doesn't mean take a nap or relax. The verb Sabbath means to cease and stop doing. Ever had a moment in our crazy, busy lives where you wish you could cease and stop doing? It refers to the last day of the week, the seventh day of the week. Sometimes it refers to the seventh year, which was a year of Sabbath, or the 49th year, which was like extra Sabbath, the seventh year, right? Sabbath was established and introduced at creation. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array." Pause. I want you to think all the vast array of what God just did. "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all he had done." God wasn't tired. God ceased doing. He had been working and created, and he paused. Well, I'm not going to jump in. That's the point later on. So we're going to hang on. So this morning we're going to start out in that commandment in the Old Testament. Now the Ten Commandments are listed in two places. They're in Exodus and Deuteronomy. We're going to be in the Exodus passage of the Ten Commandments. Look at me. Some of you have already tuned me out because I said Old Testament. We're going to get to the New Testament, and we're going to see a theme that continues through. As a matter of fact, with all things, if we look with open eyes and let the Holy Spirit lead us, we will see the Old Testament opens our eyes and takes us on a journey to Jesus all the way through. So we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to move to the New Testament. And I'm going to invite you to read with me. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go through 8 to 11. Right now we're just going to do 8 and 9. So I want to invite you online, at home, and here in the room to read with me. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work." Remember the Sabbath by working? Okay. First of all, he says, for 6 days we labor and do all our work. Labor means to exert oneself by doing physical or mental work for purpose or necessity. By the way, when I say a word means something, I'm talking about the original Hebrew or the original Greek based on where we're at in Scripture. I'm not going to give you an English definition to a word because that's how we get so misguided so often. We need to go back to what the word meant in the language it was spoken and unpack it from there. So he says, 6 days you shall labor, you shall exert yourself and do all your work. When in Genesis it talks about God creating and God working and resting from his work, it's that second work that it's talking about here, which is an action that's directed at making or doing something. It's the creative work that we do. It's the, look, not what we do to earn a paycheck unless we love what, like, I love what I do to earn my pastor paycheck. I love what I do in my job, and some of you do, but not the chores you have to do, right? That's the labor. The work is what you love to do. It's the sewing, and for me, it's the cooking, and for Gina, it's the playing music. It's the things that we love to do, but are still things to be done, right? And so the first thing that I want us to understand about Sabbath is before we get to the seventh day of Sabbath, 6 days of work happen, and work is required. Not one single amen on work is required. Y'all are like, I feel like this is a bait and switch. I thought we were talking about rest, and Pastor Jen, you're talking about work. Yep, work is required. And I actually want to pause here because while it talks about giving, it, as we go on in the passage, we'll see It talks about giving our kids and our servants and all that rest. It doesn't say 6 days have your servants work and 6 days have your kids work and 6 days have your slaves work. It says for 6 days you're supposed to work and labor. That's how that works. Proverbs 31 is the passage. If you aren't familiar with it, there the Proverbs 31 passage is really, like, if you go to a women's conference, if you're doing a women's ministry, Proverbs 31, or if you just want to feel inadequate and be reminded that you're more than enough in God as a woman, you read Proverbs 31, because Proverbs 31 is this passage about the ideal wife, the ideal woman. Like, if God wrote a script for a godly woman, she is it. Can I tell you, if you read Proverbs 31, there's a whole bunch of verses about the work that she does. It talks about how she made silks, how she cared for her husband and children, how she cared for her servants, how she cooked and she labored, she sewed, she ran business, she was a smart businesswoman, she labored. And some of us need to understand that Sabbath is not just a perpetual state of rest that we should live in, but the rest from work. Well, we gotta kind of get this right, because our society's in this really weird tug of war juxtaposition place where in one vein we're like busy, do, 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 and in the other vein we've got this whole camp of entitlement happening. And as our kids grow up, man, I remember Rick and I were like the bad parents on the block, because our kids had to do chores and they didn't get a TV in their room and they didn't, you know, they had to actually work to help some adults. Nobody in this room, nobody in our congregation, so I'm just going to get out there with this, like, I know 25-year-olds living at home and they have a part-time job and they think that's enough. No! Work for 6 days. Like, you know, I got my job for 5 days and then I have all my chores I do on the 6 days, so that, or whatever that order is for you, but we have to actually work. Are we okay? All right. We're going to get to the good part now. So work is required, but I want you to go ahead and keep reading the Exodus passage with me. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Work is required, but rest is required. For 6 days we work, and on the seventh day we rest. We don't just take a nap, we stop the doing. God invites us to stop. Well, here he's commanding his people. Stop the busy, pause. And he explains why it's necessary. Why is Sabbath important? What, like, did God just randomly decide we needed a pause? He gives us a couple of things here, and we see that in 6 days, Sabbath points us back to what God did, the example that he set for us. Because it says, for 6 days, God created, God made, God worked at creating the world. But on the seventh day, he rested. Again, can I just stress? God didn't need a nap. Y'all think about it. God didn't rest because he needed a nap. God is all powerful, which means he never runs out of power. God is all strength, which means he never runs out of strength. I don't know about you, but I've been in the place in my life where I'm like, I got this. I can work 7 days. I'm strong. I can keep going. I can just keep pressing. I can just keep moving. God created me to be stubborn. I can do this. I can power through. We're good. I'm not going to run out of strength. And God said, I never ran out of strength, Jen. I didn't need a nap. But I stopped doing. I want you to think of it this way. Well, Why do you think he stopped doing, first of all?
He
did not need a nap, Bradley. You need to listen. No naps. We would need a nap. He did not need a nap. Thank you for helping me, Bradley. What was that? Reflect to enjoy, to reflect. I want you to, you know, we got all the holidays coming up, right? Who does big Thanksgiving dinner at their house or in their family? Somebody does big Thanksgiving dinner. It's an event, right? Yep, George does big Thanksgiving dinner at the Nairn household. Yes. Come in for dessert, George. So, like, that's a lot of work, right? Thanksgiving dinner's a lot of work. We do all this work. God does all this work in the 6 days. But you know that moment when you sit down at the table? It comes after the moment where you sit down and remember you forgot the cranberries and that you forgot the gravy and you get back up two more times. But the moment when everything is there, and whether you have been the one laboring to set the table or move the chairs or get the extra stuff or get the house clean or the one cooking or any combination, it's the moment where all your family, all your friends, whoever your family is gathered around and seated at the table, and you exhale, and then you enjoy. That's Sabbath. That's rest. God wasn't taking a nap. He created and did and made this beautiful thing. And then he stopped doing to sit in it and enjoy. I have two books. Actually, I think they're in the back. Sabbath is one of the books. Just the title is Sabbath. And then there's another book by Matthew Sleeth called 24/6. Now, Matthew Sleeth was a physician and an atheist. We'll get into his story a little more later about how he came to be a Christian and why he has this amazing book on Sabbath. But in his book, he says, "For 6 days, God created everything out of nothing. And on the seventh day, God made nothing out of something. Rest is brought into being." Stopping and pausing. So, but we've got something going on here, because Sabbath is introduced in Genesis, but it's not mandated, it's not commanded until hundreds of years later, generations and generations later in Exodus. So how did it, thank you, Jessica, how did it become so serious? Because, like, not only, by the time we get to Exodus, not only is it the longest command, there are penalties in Exodus if you don't follow Sabbath. If you ignore Sabbath, you're cut off from your community. If you desecrate Sabbath, which there's a whole lot that goes into that, okay, I don't want you to think like God is some big, mean, awful God, but the punishment for desecrating Sabbath was death. If Sabbath is meant to protect life, why do you think God would be so determined to get us to follow that, to keep us from death? Anyway, it's just a side thought. And it's not just to honor what he created, but, like, why is it introduced as a command in this place and time, right? The Israelites have crossed the Red Sea. They are wandering in the desert. Moses goes up to get the commandments to help them reestablish themselves because they've been slaves for hundreds of years. And that's where I'm going to quick take us over to Deuteronomy 5:15. And I just want you to listen to this as I read it. I think we still have it up on the screen. This is the other, remember I said the Ten Commandments are in two places? In this other place, it gives us a little more detail. It says that, "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and his powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day, because before you were slaves." Y'all, slaves had to work 7 days a week. Slaves had no say in their calendar. Slaves had no say in their tasks. They had no say in their time. They were abused. They were oppressed. And God is saying, "I freed you. And I need you to still see me as master, but I am not a master that forces you to do unwanted labor. I am a master that invites you into this place of rest, into this place of provision." If you'll remember back in the story, as Moses is telling Pharaoh to let his people go, they keep cutting back on what they give to the slaves for provisions. They make them work longer hours. They take food and supplies away from them. And God is saying, I'm not going to command you to make bricks. I'm going to command you to rest in what I provide for you. I'm going to command you that when you gather the manna for 6 days, you're going to actually on the sixth day gather twice as much, because on the seventh day, I'm going to provide for you in a way that you don't even have to go out and work for your food, the food I drop from the sky. But you don't even have to do that, because I'm going to provide that for you. Karl Barth, who is a theologian, said, a being is free only when it can determine and limit its activity. The Israelites were leaving slavery, and God was inviting them to freedom. It was an invitation not just to rest, because that would just be Sabbath, but a Sabbath to the Lord, to rest in God. An invitation back in relationship. If we go back to Genesis, God communed. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He had this time that was set apart just for them. And God has set Sabbath apart just for us. It's an invitation back to that relationship with Him. It also says it's a day of holy assembly. It's the Lord's Sabbath. It's not just a day to nap. Worship is part of Sabbath. Gathering as a community, a holy community, which means just a set apart to God community of people. Guess what, y'all? We may not be uptight and we may wear jeans to preach and t-shirts too sometimes, but we are a holy community of believers, because holy isn't old-fashioned. Holy is set apart for God. So Sabbath is not a punishment. Sabbath started in Genesis, right? Actually, the whole premise of this book, 24:6, because Sabbath starts in Genesis, but the world has followed Sabbath. Like throughout time, the Roman Empire, our own United States as we were formed, before that, Europe, all of Europe, through the Middle Ages, like there's always been this day of rest in our own nation through civil war, through the suffrage movement, through the civil rights movement, all the way up through the space age, we rested one day a week as a culture. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know who decided we didn't need a day off anymore. And I think it started with this pursuit of convenience, like, well, the grocery store should be open. And look, I'm going to tell you, it's inconvenient. I lived in England for 3 years in a small village. The grocery store, it is not a grocery store. The corner market, which was probably as big as the green rug and an extra 2 feet, right? The corner market that had vegetables and produce and meat and everything from wrapping paper and tape to what you needed to put on the dinner table was closed on Sundays. So how did we get here to this nonstop epidemic of busyness? Pastor Jen, we live in a prosperous society. We have all that we need to do. We can push 7 days a week. We should be around the clock. We can do that. It's good for us. Okay, so I know this study is a little old. It's from 2012. They're in the midst of processing the findings from the next study. But in 2012, they did a study that had gone back 20 years. And in that 20 years, what they found in North America was that our leisure time, our rest time, had gone down 30%. So if we take away 30% of our leisure time, of our rest time, don't you think we should be 30% more productive? Yeah? I mean, quid pro quo, right? 30% out, more output. What the study found was that even though we were 30% busier, we were only 15% more productive. Our productivity was cut in half as we became busier and busier and busier. So our productivity didn't really go up. It was in the negative if you put output, input, all those things. But you know what did go up? Blood pressure, depression, heart attacks, strokes. You see, our Creator knew what he was doing when he said, here is something that you need, and it's not for, it's for you. It is a gift to you. Genesis 2:3, I know I read it quick earlier, but I want to focus on something. Because in Genesis 2:3, it says, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, made it set apart, because on it he rested from the work of the creating he had done. He didn't just provide, y'all, God didn't just provide a place and time for us to cease the doing. He blessed that time. He covered it. He gifted it. He made it special. There's a point in Exodus where God's getting really frustrated with the Israelites not following the rules. And at this point, Sabbath isn't even required yet. He's talking about them picking up manna or not picking up manna. But it says in Exodus 16, 28 and 29, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize, God is saying, my people must realize that Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Now, I just read that for the NLT. I know you guys know I usually use the NIV if you're online and you're not seeing the word gift. Gift is what is meant. It is completely implied, and the NLT spells it out, which is, I don't want you to think I created something that wasn't there. I just picked a version that I liked. It means God gifted us this time. Sabbath creates a sacred rhythm for our bodies and our spirits to rest. So Sabbath is not only not a punishment, Sabbath is God's gift of rest. Jeremiah, Sabbath is God's gift of rest. Just getting us back on track with the slide deck. Thank you. Okay. So it's not just God's gift of rest for us, but it's God's gift of rest for the earth, for our communities. By the way, I'm just going to pause right there. Rick had to step out to take care of something, and Jeremiah's running both sets of the booth, which is why I got his attention up there. He's doing two jobs up there, so y'all should just give him a little hand right now because he's doing awesome. Doing double duty. Thank you, Jeremiah. I don't want y'all to think I was... He does way good work up there. So Sabbath is God's gift of rest. And it's not just a gift of rest for us, but for our communities and for the earth. Remember God said, your donkeys aren't to work, your kids aren't to work, you're not to plow a field. We talked about that it wasn't just the seventh day, but the seventh year. The seventh year, the Sabbath year, God commands that they don't plow the fields, they don't work the fields, they give the land and the earth a rest. Do you know that... even now, farmers know they need to rest the land, because if they don't rest the land every couple of years, every 7 years, then the productivity goes down and the land won't produce anymore. It becomes more susceptible to disease and insects and all the things. And then God introduces this year of Jubilee. The 49th year is 7 times 7, 49, 7 weeks, 7 years of 7 weeks. I think that's how the passage actually reads. I should have pulled that passage because y'all know me in math, right? Like, my tongue just gets twisted thinking about it. I just broke out into a cold sweat trying to get the formula right. Yeah. So anyway, but it's the 49th year, and on the seventh day of the 10th month was the Day of Atonement. And it was a special year, this year of Jubilee, the Day of Atonement. Now, every year there was a Day of Atonement where the priest came in and made atonement for the people's sins. But in this 49th year, that was an extra, extra special day. And in that, they consecrated the following year. So the year of Jubilee is actually the 50th year that they go into celebrating. And it was the year of redemption. It was the year of being reconciled. Slaves were set free. In the year of Jubilee, land that had been sold off or auctioned off or loaned away was returned to its rightful owner. In the year of Jubilee, in the Sabbath year, everything was restored back to its right order. And it created a rhythm. Like, well, Pastor Jen, that was a slower time. Like, we're so busy now. We can't do that. Like, we're too busy to take a Sabbath rest. Can I suggest that the pace of our society, the pressures that we're under, everything that is happening, Exactly the opposite. We're too busy not to take a Sabbath rest. We're too busy not to stop doing and pause and reset and recalibrate. I mentioned this author, Matthew Sleeth, in 24:6, and we'll have different excerpts from this book along the way. But the main thing I want to share with you is that he's a physician. And he was a physician in 9/11. He worked, I think, in New Jersey, but he worked right there where everything was happening. He's also an atheist. And in that time, what all physicians around the country thought was going to happen post 9/11, not just the day of, like when people didn't show up at the hospital like they thought they would, but for the time span following, all the hospitals and doctors thought that there was going to be a lot of sick people, that the stress of the attacks, the stress of going to war, all these things happening, all the stress our nation was under was going to cause a lot more illness, that heart attacks were going to go up, that all of these things were going to happen. And what actually caught his attention and turned him towards scriptures and actually walked him eventually into a relationship with Jesus was that exactly the opposite happened. Now, if you're old enough, I want you to think back to 9/11 because you're like, I do not understand what you were saying. Give me a minute. I want you to think back. After 9/11, we all stopped what we were doing. We quit taking our friends and our families for granted. If you weren't military and going forward into theater, you took the time to have dinner around the table. Like there's that country song about playing in the yard and watching I Love Lucy reruns, right? Like that's what we all did. We all gathered. We all rested. We all stopped and began to recognize the things in our lives that were important and actually invest time in them and not just in the doing. And we were healthier for it. So what I want us to recognize is that Sabbath is not an invitation to law. Sabbath is an invitation to life. Jesus said Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. In his book, Matthew Sleeth says, Sabbath was meant to protect the worker and set the stage for a celebration of God. If our day of rest becomes a set of rules, then the celebration and the joy are easily subtracted. So you're like, okay, well, Pastor Jen, that was then, that was the Old Testament, but then Jesus came and he fulfilled the law, so New Testament, so what do we still need the Sabbath for? Like, I thought Jesus said, you just said Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Well, yeah, we can skip the legalism. By the way, just a quick side note, all the crazy rules and laws that got layered onto Sabbath did not happen in Old Testament times. They were added in by the rabbis in the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament when God was silent and man was trying to work his way back to God and started layering in all this legalism. So I don't even want you to ascribe that to the Old Testament because it was never in God's word meant to be this legalistic stuff. But if we skip forward to, actually, we're going to go past Jesus to Paul, to Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11. I think we have that scripture. Yep. I want you guys to read this with me. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest, so that no one will perish by following their examples of disobedience. He's talking about people in the Old Testament that didn't do what they were supposed to do. So first of all, I told you we got to talk about the meanings of the word, what they really meant back then. The Greek word rest means a change of state from activity or work to cessation, which means stopping from work, that results in, and here's the key, that results in feelings of refreshing, tranquility, and the absence of tension or worry. Anybody could use a little absence of tension or worry in their life right now? Like, just a tad of release from tension or worry, especially in that God provides. So this time is not just set apart as sacred rest, but it's set apart as sacred tranquility, sacred refreshing. It's a time when we surrender our will and our calendars to God so that he can do what only God can do to bring us peace and wholeness. Paul says, make every effort. Some of your translations say strive. That sounds like really hard work. Like, isn't that a contradiction? Make every effort, strive to rest. So again, let's talk about what that word really means. To make every effort or to strive in Greek means to show keen interest, intense desire, and this is where I've been camping this week, or impatient expectancy. Like, think about your kids the night before you're leaving for Disney World, right? Come on. All right, some of us think about us the night before we leave for Disney World. Think about me the week, the night before we're leaving for New York. I am like pumped, like we're going to rest. It's going to be awesome. Impatient expectancy. And yet we go from the Old Testament rules where there's this command and there's penalties to Paul saying we still need to honor Sabbath, but we have Jesus' words talking about Sabbath is for man, not man for Sabbath. So how does that work? Is anybody else feeling a little confused? I was. Sabbath was made as a way for us to come back to sacred rest. And what I want us to understand is that when Jesus came to walk among us, he came, as he said, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But guys, there's some aha moments in my studies this week, because it's not just about Jesus not abolishing Sabbath. When Jesus says he came to fulfill, there is a really special connection to Sabbath, and it's really important. I want us to understand it. Jesus begins his public ministry in the synagogue by quoting Isaiah 61, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," which meant the year of Jubilee, that 50th year that we talked about, that year of redemption, that year of atonement, the year of everything being set back to its right order. Jesus finishes reading the scroll, and he says, "Today, in your presence, this scripture is fulfilled." Jesus says, "Today, I have become your rest. Today, I have become your freedom. Today, I have become the atonement for you. Today, what God said that he was going to do, he has done, and done it in me. I am the freedom and the rest. I am the healing and the freedom from captivity that you need. I am God with you, and your rest doesn't come from a 24-hour day on the calendar. It comes from time with me." Matthew 11, 28-30, Jesus carries that a little further when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That actually means I will invite you into rest, holy rest, sacred rest. Jesus still kept the Sabbath. He was in the synagogue every Sabbath, obedient to the process. But it wasn't about the process. It was about entering into relationship with Jesus, who is the ultimate rest, the ultimate provision. No more sacrifices made to make atonement for us. Jesus makes atonement for us. So this month, as we unpack these different ingredients of Sabbath, as we set the stage today for what all that is, I know it's hard to think about surrendering your control of your calendar, surrendering your time. Like, you got to work to Sabbath. Like, you got to get stuff ready. And we'll get to all that. I don't even want you to go there this week unless you're prompted to by the Holy Spirit. But I want to invite you into a journey where we surrender control of our calendar to the creator of time. Where we surrender control of our schedules and our activities for just a period of time every week to the one who created us to do the activities he knew we would need to do. It's not a forced nap or a sanctified timeout. It is that moment where we stop doing and we rest in God and His provision. The Puritans said that, anybody ever been to a really big farmer's market? Like, I know they have the little one in La Plata. Or you've been to a foreign country where there's the marketplace and it's hustling and bustling and you can get everything there? The Puritans said that Sabbath was a market day for the soul, where it's not just about rest. It's not just about this. It's not just about that. There's all these elements of Sabbath that we're going to get into. But I want to invite you on the journey that includes contentment, thankfulness, celebration. Sabbath is about celebration. Y'all are like, talk about Sabbath and go do trunk or treat. And yeah, because Sabbath is about fun and play. Sabbath is about family and friendship and relationship. It is absolutely about worship and gathering together, but it is so much more. Because Sabbath is established in Genesis, it is commanded in Exodus, and it is fulfilled in Jesus. You see, Jesus invites us into His rest place with Him, where we can let go of stress and anxiety and commitments and all the things, and trust that His sacrifice for us is all that we need. So I told you we were going to give you a practical thing to do each week. We were going to create an invitation for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. So I talked about the Thanksgiving table, how we have that moment where you just sit down after you've gotten up three times to get the stuff you forgot. And you sit down and everything is laid out and the napkins, if we use cloth napkins, and our boys always made this really big deal about flinging their little napkin, right? Like they were fancy. Jesus set a table for us. Jesus said, Sabbath is not about rules and law. Sabbath is about me. It is about trusting that in me you are enough. And so this morning, I want to invite us into a time of communion. And in that invitation, I would ask that you open your hearts to consider, because y'all, look, I know, Old Testament principle, right? That's the argument. I'm too busy. That's the argument. There's too much going on. I can't even, I'll come back to church next month. Come back in December. Can I invite you into a space where you just let Jesus work on your heart this month? As we prepare to celebrate communion, as we invite you to stand and pray with us, that you would just today begin to taste and see what communion is all about. Taste and see what resting in Jesus is all about. And join us as we delve into all the other ingredients of celebration and relationship and thanksgiving and play and worship. And if you haven't, before we pray, we'll get the
little cellophane.
We invite you to the communion table. You do not need to be a member of Bridge Church. You just simply need to be a believer in Jesus. We invite you to partake with us as we read the passage. And here's the tough part. Thank you, COVID. You have these little guys. And there's this little tab right here. And if you flip that tab a couple times, there's two layers. And the top layer of cellophane will get you to that. And then you peel back the rest for the juice. And if you need help, raise your hand. Jessica or I will come and help you. That's the very not spiritual part of Sabbath that we have to say right now. And so let's go back to the purpose of it all. Would you join us in prayer? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you created this example of Sabbath for us. That after you created everything, you just didn't move on to the next thing, but you took a pause, you took a beat to sit, to rest, to enjoy what you had created and the work you had done. God, we thank you that you invite us into that rest place. That you are not sending us to time out or to sit down or to be still or to not have fun, but that you invite us into the celebration of the table. And Jesus, we thank you that you just didn't leave us to the law, which was our guardian, which protected us, but you invited us into abundant life in you, in relationship. So today, as we prepare our hearts to share the table with you, Jesus, Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts, not just to do a tradition, but to celebrate the atonement that you made for us, to celebrate the redemption, Jesus, you gave us. The ultimate Sabbath. In Jesus' name.